Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. So we're going to start off here a little different. Why don't you get these? There's a sheet that I asked Jim to put in each of your books here. And it's it's a refuge chant. This month's theme is taking refuge every February. So I'm going to talk about taking refuge. And I thought maybe... See, one day we're going to have a chant book, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be the best chant book, but we don't have it yet, and we just got this little one. So we're working on that. By July, I think we're going to have a new chant book with things like this in it, so we don't have to get these little hand out these little pieces of paper. This is not working. So I'd like to ask you to chant along with me this chant. But this chant, unlike most of our chants, has a tune. So I'm going to give you the tune. So you can listen up. And now I'm going to give it to you by me, and then I'm going to play you the real deal. So here's the rhythm. Some of you have done this before. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami. Yeah? Goes up in the middle. Yeah, I'll just play this. Just I don't even think they sound as good as I do. Okay, that's the tune. This, by the way, is the Pali version of the refuge chant, the traditional refuge chant, taking refuge chant, which goes way back. I mean, if there's anything that all Buddhist traditions share, it's this taking refuge. So let's try it. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami, Tutyampi Buddham saranam. Saranam Gacchami. Some tune now and then in our chanting, and I hope we can make this a regular February ritual. Today I want to talk about taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. By the way, the three bows that we do for after the chanting is typically seen as doing prostrations to the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha. A place like a Zen center like this is a place to take refuge. I hope for you to come on a Sunday morning and get away from the hurly-burly of the world. It's a place that's relatively quiet, relatively dry, and warm. We leave our cell phones at the door, and here we're sheltered in a way, sheltered from social engagements, sheltered from our email threads, from the encroachment of the digital world altogether, and that allows us to let go of that self that's enmeshed with all of that stuff. And it allows us to let go without screwing something up, you know, because we're not in that world. We can safely do that. You can safely let yourself go here. Whether you choose to do that or not, that's another matter. But it does give us the space to do that, to pursue that. And this also becomes a sacred space, a place like this. Of course, we share the space. But when we bring the Buddha out, when we make put all the cushions out like this, when we do the ritual that we do, when we take off our shoes and come in here, it becomes a sacred space. Moses took off his shoes in front of the burning bush. You know, that became a sacred space. And it becomes a home away from home, this place, I hope, for you. It takes time, but that's one of the things that I really hope for in a Zen community like this, is the space, is to have the space where you can go and give yourself up safely and do this, let your guard down and do this deeper work here. So this is, I think, taking that, letting yourself go, is taking refuge in the Buddha. That's what I see as taking refuge in the Buddha, because the Buddha in the Zen school represents our silent self that appears when we let go of ourselves. But we also need teaching the Dharma, and we need a community, the Sangha, to take refuge in as well. I think we take refuge in the Dharma. I think we're taking refuge from kind of conventional messages and teaching that we get in the world of commerce and work and the 24-hour news cycle. Refuge from the world of bustle and hustle and in a community that's pointed in the same direction. Spiritual direction, and a community that values, that has somewhat different values perhaps than the dominant culture, that values long-term spiritual development and relationships, and that, you know, literally walks to a different rhythm. We kind of have a shared I believe in the ritual in this place. And I believe that there's a certain kind of binding power there in the ritual that is subtle, that's not easily even noticed in this strange stuff that we do. But not only is it a chance for us to let go of ourselves into a silent activity of whatever ritual it is, that's an individual quality. It also has this binding quality. I've been reading something about that recently, so I'm kind of hot on that topic. You know, here we are. Boom, 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 boom. Just like the old ones, old ancestors around the fire. Boom, 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 boom. It kind of has this, I think it has a kind of binding effect. And I really do think a group like this, that, for instance, helps each other out, you know, like we're going to do this afternoon with Karen at Karen's place, is a treasure. And I'm so happy that to be part of it. So, yeah, so these are kind of taking refuge. That's taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I want to tell you a quick story of taking refuge from the Buddha. It's from this book here, The Basic Teachings of the Buddha. Gives me a chance to promote this fall. We're going to lead a class on this book, The Basic Teachings of the Buddha, which is not the regular teachings that I teach about, actually. It's really the old Buddhist teachings. And I think it's very good for folks to be familiar with those old teachings, the old Pali texts. Because these are original source materials and commentaries on them. And I feel it's important for us as, you know, I mean, Zen's new, you know, we didn't start till 500 AD. So to understand the connection between some of that old Buddhism and our type of Buddhism. And the very first story in here is about the hawk and the quail. I've told this before. I'm not going to read it, but I just wanted to. I'll read just a little snippet of it. So the story is that there's this hawk, and he swoops down and catches a quail in his mouth. And as the hawk is flying away, the quail says, I used to be. Is this the hawk one? No, I got the wrong one there. Yeah, here we go. The hawk says, "What is your native domain, quail?" And the quail says, "What is your ancestral natural habitat?" And the quail says, "Oh, I live under this clod of freshly tilled earth. That's my natural domain, under that clod." And the hawk, who was not boasting about his own strength, I like the hawk doesn't get a bad rap here, or mentioning his own strength, says, the quail says, "Why don't you let me go? And I'll bet you can't get me, you know, once I get in my natural domain." And the hawk says, "Well, I'm not boastful, but I bet I can." So he lets him go. And the quail gets underneath that clod of earth, and the hawk swoops down and hits his chest against the clod, and it flies off. So the quail's safe. That's pretty much the story. But what the Buddha's point is that that our native domain, our own ancestral natural habitat, is the foundation of present moment awareness. That is mindfulness. And that the hawk represents our kind of not just our desires but our cravings, and we have to remember to come back to our natural ancestral present moment awareness domain. So that sounds good. That's kind of taking refuge, I think, you see, in that's what we learn to do, is take refuge in that. But to put a little bit of space between me and the Buddha, or Zen and the Buddha, the Mahayana idea And the Zen idea is you can't stay there. You can't actually stay underneath that clod. That's my phone. But so you have to, we can't stay here in this room. Our rental agreement doesn't allow for that. And there's no kitchen facilities. So we have to go out. And not only because we can't stay here, but because we can't complete our practice without going out into the world. So we have to have this refuge possibility, I think, and really take advantage of it when we're here. And then we have to complete our practice by going out into the world, by going beyond the clod, and by exploring. We just sat Zazen here in this nice warm space, and then we went outside for a walk. Mm-hmm. When we're here, we're taking refuge in the Buddha and doing Zazen. And then when we go outside for a walk, we're still taking refuge in the Buddha, but in a different form. Out there, we're taking refuge in the cold Buddha, the cold and windy Buddha. And that is a Buddha. That is a manifestation of the Buddha. And when you drive around away from here, you'll have a chance to take refuge in the driving Buddha. When you walk into your home, you get home, you're walking into your home Buddha. Because the Buddha in our Zen school is very big. Like Vairochana Buddha is the huge Buddha, and the Buddha Nara is the Vairochana Buddha, the biggest Buddha, in Japan. And it's big not to be, to represent dominance. It's big to represent everywhere-ness of the Buddha. And it's our job, in a way, to recognize that and to find the Buddha everywhere, not just here. And which is to say, to become the Buddha everywhere, in every situation. And because I think true taking refuge in the Buddha, whether here or elsewhere, is becoming the Buddha, is manifesting the Buddha in our everyday life. So like Layman Pang, I talked about him last week, says, in chopping wood and carrying water. That's the miraculous activity of the Buddha. That's where you find the Buddha. And I think that's a different sort of taking refuge, if it can be called taking refuge. Not taking refuge by retreating, but by advancing into the world and really becoming your situation. So not holding back into the clod, but going out and finding the Buddha with a kind of spirit of determination. Yeah. So one example that I sometimes think about in terms of refuge is, so, if maybe you get caught, let's say you're going to pick up, I'm within walking distance of the school, so I'm going to pick up my son at school a few years ago, and there's a rainstorm, and I take refuge under a tree. That's a form of taking refuge, waiting for the rain. But I gotta go pick up. I can't be late. So the rain keeps coming down, and I go out into the rain. And after a moment of resistance, I figure, well, I may as well feel it, this rain. I may as well just go with this situation of rain. And to the extent that I can do that, I then manifest the rain Buddha there. I then become rain. And I am then taking refuge in the rain, you see. That's my place of refuge. And taking refuge in the rain Buddha. because I think to the deeper way to take refuge in the Buddha is to manifest our situation just as it is, whatever our situation is, to become that situation and to manifest that situation, to go with it. That's the deeper meaning, I think, of taking refuge in the Buddha. And it's not only true of the rain, but of course, of our workplace and of sitting and listening to a friend and entering a situation that you know will be difficult, or being with an emotion like sadness or anger or shame. We worked with that some yesterday in that workshop. To really be with whatever that is. That's being with the shame Buddha or the angry Buddha. That's another place of refuge and discovery. So it's not in my notes, but I thought about a story, which is here's another animal story. It goes pretty far back, not as far back as the last one. So this Indian gentleman is going to visit his brother, and his brother lives a good long way away. And this fellow has never left his hometown, but he's going to go through the jungle to get there. Jungle's a little bit dangerous, but he's going to do it. So he sets off to see his brother, and wouldn't you know it, after a little while, he gets chased by a tiger. And he's running away from the tiger, and he runs up against a cliff, and there's nowhere to go. So he's like, oh no. And then he sees a little vine going down from the cliff to below. So he jumps on the vine and starts shimmying down the vine. Whew. Tiger's up there looking down. And then he looks down and he sees another tiger at the bottom, right at the bottom of the vine, looking up. So he's stuck between those two tigers, with both of them looking at him, growling. And he's just sitting on the vine. And then he sees a white mouse, a little white mouse, and a little black mouse. And they come together at the right at the point at where the vine comes over the thing and start to chew. So as this is happening, just as this is happening, he looks over, and in the crevice of the cliff wall is a wild strawberry growing. And he takes the strawberry and puts it in his mouth, and he says, ah, oh, so sweet. That's it. So, it's fun to make. You can make of what you'd like of that story, but one thing that I think about, what made me think of that was this even in a maelstrom, even in the worst situation, the Buddha is. There is this, there are moments of, the present moment is with you. And it might not be quite as bad a situation as this, but in situations where we feel greatly uncomfortable, when we feel like we're in big trouble, this story reminds me that this moment is still here. And that if we can, in a way, give up, then it appears. If we can just be. Giving up, by the way, often, in my view, means just becoming that situation. Okay. This is my situation. I'm going to walk into a room full of people who are going to criticize me. Mm. To notice the flowers on the way in to the moon, to the room, is possible. Mm-hmm. If we are together with that situation, if we just, oh, okay. And guess where we get to practice that? Mm. On the cushion here. Oh yeah, okay, I got lots of things to worry about, and yeah, I've got a plan. if we can practice dropping all of that. Okay, this is my situation as it is right now. I'm not going to try to better it by going up or down the vine. I'm just going to get stuck here. Okay, this is the way the situation is. If we can just be with this situation as it is, our life as it is, this is kind of bigger than just, you know, just sitting and breathing. Be with our life just as the mess that it is. Then I think we can have a chance to notice the moments of grace and beauty and feel the what I think of is really not an exaggeration to say the power of the Buddha with us. So, And I think when we completely manifest a situation, I hope this doesn't confuse the issue, but I think when we completely manifest a situation, then, and really become it, like when we're sitting, for instance, then we really have finished taking refuge. We're not taking refuge in the Buddha anymore. You know, that, I don't know if you read the translation, but that's the last of these three. I've finished taking refuge in the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha. I think probably what the old text means is, okay, I just took refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Now I'm finished taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha because I just chanted that chant. But maybe that's what it means. But for me, it reminds me that there is this taking refuge and then there is finishing taking refuge. And for me, that happens in two senses. One is that we have to leave this place of refuge and go out into the world and find the rain Buddha and the street Buddha and the Sangha of all sentient beings out there. And then also when we can completely enter into a situation, any of those Buddhas, then we give up. We go beyond our idea of the Buddha, and I think that's what Rinzai meant by when you meet the Buddha, kill the Buddha. That's what meant by gone beyond to the other shore that we chant in the Heart Sutra. So whether we're chanting or... if we completely enter into chanting, we disappear into chanting. There's no taking refuge, there's no chanting, there's no you. And when we completely give ourselves to chopping wood, there's no idea of chopping wood, there's just the wood chopping. And the same when we're listening to a friend or being with a difficult situation. We're just there. Nowhere else to be. So, I'd like to encourage you, and by encouraging you, encourage me to take refuge regularly in a place like this and to finish taking refuge and go out into the world and find the Buddha out there.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.